Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me, first of all, to 1 Peter chapter 4 in the New Testament, the first epistle of Peter, chapter number 4. I want you to mark that spot. Well, I really hope you'll listen tonight. This is going to help you in your workplace. It's going to help you in your home. It's going to help you in your church. All of your life. I hope you'll listen very, very carefully. 1 Peter 4, mark that spot, and then turn to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, that'd be chapter 7. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter number 7. Ecclesiastes 7, let's read a few verses and then we'll pray together, okay? Ecclesiastes 7, down in verse 20. Says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Father, I pray tonight you'll open our hearts to your word. I pray that we will be hearers and then also doers of these things that you have written. And I pray that as we listen now and read these words, that all distractions would be cast aside. Help us, Lord, please, to focus very carefully on what the Spirit says to the church in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to look again now at verse 21 of this text. King Solomon mentions a subject that is surprisingly one of the major themes in New Testament Christianity. We'll look at those New Testament verses in a moment. But first, notice again verse 21. He says, also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. In other words, the counsel here and the wisdom is really very simple. You'll notice that the verse begins with the word also, right? And that's the reason for that is it's connected to the verse before it, a familiar verse. Verse 20 that says, there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also, he says. In other words, since nobody is perfect, and since imperfect people say foolish and hurtful things all the time, verse 21 says, also take no heed unto all words that are spoken. What's he saying? He is saying that a man should never try to hear, a man should never make effort to hearken to everything that's being said about himself or about others. Why? Well, lest, he says, thou hear thy own servant curse thee. In other words, because people are unjust, because people are sinners and fallen creatures, they always say foolish and hurtful and spiteful things. We know servants certainly do, that is, employees about their bosses, but as do students about their teachers and brothers about their sisters, wives about their husbands, and husbands about their wives, and children about their parents, and church members about their pastor. Everybody says words as fallen sinners about other people that they don't intend for those other people ever to hear. And that's exactly why we have verse 22. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Isn't that good? Solomon says, look, you've said things oftentimes. Notice the word in the Bible, oftentimes. And then he uses that little sort of parenthetical, thine own heart knoweth. You know this. You won't admit it because meddlers never do. He says, you know, your own heart knows that you yourself oftentimes have spoken hurtful, devastating things about other people that you did not want those people to hear. It's what sinners do. Pride, gossip, vindictiveness. Everybody struggles with these sins of the flesh. You know, every beast of the field is tamed, James said. But the tongue can no man tame. Well, what cannot be cured must be endured. So what the scripture is counseling here is very powerful. It is counseling that it is very unwise to seek out to hearken, to give your ears to these kinds of words. To use a more modern idiom, ignorance is bliss. Or in my case, fat, dumb, and happy. That's what I am. So, because all sinners say very foolish and hurtful things, one of the very worst things you can do as a redeemed sinner is be a meddler, an eavesdropper. The kind of person who wants to hear and thus repeat what should never have been said in the first place. You see, meddling is like taking a hot coal that would have died on its own. But it's taking that hot coal and it's stoking it and therefore adding fuel to it. Turn back a few pages to Proverbs chapter number 30, just a few pages. We're going to turn to a lot of scriptures tonight, in the New Testament as well. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 10, which is really the perfect cross-reference to tonight's text. Proverbs 30 and verse 10 says, "Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee, and thou be found guilty." Accuse not a servant unto his master. He says, Pastor, what exactly is that text saying? It is saying, ladies and gentlemen, very simply, mind your own business. You heard what a servant said in cursing his master? Is he your servant? Is he your master? Servants say things about their masters and they shouldn't say them. But you know what? It is foolish to inject your ears and then your own tongue into other people's business. Why? There are several reasons. For one thing, I'll remind you that it will ultimately hurt you. For example, we know from the text in Ecclesiastes we read a moment ago that if you try to hear other people's words, if that's your goal, if you're a busybody, if you're a meddler, you're always doing this, you know what? Eventually you're going to hear words spoken about you, hurtful things. And there may be even words spoken by your own servant, meaning someone or the people that are very close to you. That in itself is extremely hurtful. Look, nobody is strong enough to handle what others are really saying about them. Do you realize that? As a matter of fact, I can tell you right now, I don't want to know what people say about me. I absolutely positively do not. If I could put a bug in your car or in your living room, there's not a chance in a billion years that I would do it. I don't want to know, even though I know we love each other. I know that. I still don't want to know what you say. Because I'm sure there's a lot of good things, and then there's that one or two or three every now and then. I don't want to hear your conversations because my heart couldn't take it. And you know, that is exactly why suspicious people, there's a title that I've given through the years in the ministry about certain kinds of people, and I know them. I call them suspicious people. These are people who always stand by the door and the window and listen, even though the door is shut, because you're not supposed to be listening. They're suspicious people because everybody's talking about me. Well, yeah, they are. They're talking about me too. And so they stand by and they listen. They read other people's mail. They want to know everything about what others are saying. And you know what? Honestly, those people don't live very long. Or if they do live very long, they live every day with terrible anxiety and health problems. And in that way, meddling is self-destructive. However, it's also self-destructive for another reason. Because if you're listening and hearing what others are always saying, then if, let's say, as the text says here, if you accuse a servant unto his master, you know, chances are that one of these days the tables are going to be turned. It may well be that 5 years down the road, maybe 10, it doesn't matter, however long down the road, that same servant will now be your master. He's your manager. He's your boss. He's the owner. So that now you have an enemy, an adversary, and a whole set of problems you would have never, ever had in this life. And you know, for people who routinely mind other people's business, who go about hearing things they're not supposed to hear on a routine basis, they don't just accuse one servant to his master once in a blue moon. They accuse a servant a week or three a month. This week they meddle into their mother-in-law's business, and the next week they insert themselves into their neighbor's business. How many of you had a neighbor like that? They meddle? Yeah, I do. I won't tell you which one because John lives right down the road. The next week, they accuse a friend of a friend. So that by the time they're 30 years of age, they've got people all over creation who are just waiting to clip coupons against them. By the time they're 40, they've alienated all of those that could have been a blessing to them. And by the time they're 50, the age of perfection, they wonder why, quote, everybody has it out for me. Everybody's out. You know what? That's not true. This is the life of a meddler. This is the path of a man or a woman who doesn't mind their own business. You see, here's what the flesh forgets, and I'm going to show you something pretty powerful in the New Testament in a moment if you think this is just practical common sense stuff. The flesh forgets when it accuses another man's servant to his master that he's able to be accused as well. In fact, that's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. In other words, unless the accuser and the meddler is perfect, and let's say you're a meddler, you want to hear things all the time and then intercede in the matter. Unless you're perfect and flawless, unless you're willing to let the whole world know your affairs, mark it down, someday you as a meddler will be accused as well, except that the motive won't just be meddling in that case, it will be payback. It will be revenge, which is a dish, as they say, best served cold. What goes around comes around. So that note this very carefully. All that a meddler really ever does by not minding his own business is make down payments on future battles and problems he never should have had. Much of the counseling that I do is involved around problems that people bring into their lives that they had nothing to do with. They just jumped into somebody else's mud pile. And they weren't supposed to. And by the way, here's what the meddler says. The meddler says, I am minding my own business. I just don't like to see another man's servant taking advantage of his master. I just feel like I have to speak up. I just can't ignore it. When I see this person and that person or this Christian do someone wrong. You know, there's a very harsh Bible word for people who use that rationale in order to meddle in other people's business. Strong word. Look at chapter 20. Turn back a few pages. And notice let's read verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, to get away from it. But every fool, there's the strong word, will be meddling. What a contrast. The honorable man over here, he runs from strife. He doesn't say, well, I want to hear what's going on. I want to get the dirt, and then I want to jump in. The honorable man ceases from strife. The fool will be meddling. Look at chapter 26. Turn ahead a few pages. Notice verse. Now, folks, I'm trying through the scripture, you're going to see this in a moment, to save you a lot of trouble and heartache, unnecessarily so. 26 verse 17 says, this is a familiar verse, by the way, he that passeth by, and meddleth with strife belonging not to him. Is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Boy, that's a visual, isn't it? All right, you're passing by, you're walking by, and then there's Hank and Angela over there, and they're fighting like they always do, as you know. And you stop and say, oh, I want to get in on that. The Bible says a person that you should be passing by, it's none of your business. So the scripture uses a word picture, a great one, I think. It says a person that stops and gets involved. Let's look at it again. If you pass by, chapter 26, verse 17, and meddle with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. What happens when you grab a dog by its ears? You know, the ears are usually small. You've got to grab those ears. You've got to grab them pretty tight. Well, when you grab a dog by the ears, both of your hands are busy. You can't do anything else. And the dog's mad. And he's close to your face. He might snap your nose off. And if you hold those ears very long, if it's a bad dog, which he will be for too long, now you don't want to let go. And of course, the question is, why would you do that? Why would anybody deliberately put their own face at risk when you simply don't have to? By the same token, why would you pass by and meddle with strife that doesn't belong to you? See, verse 17 is God's way of saying, pick your fights. Don't get involved in other people's battles. There's a young man in Michigan, many, many years ago, as assistant pastor. He was an absolute biblical definition of a meddler. He was always listening. He had an uncanny talent for knowing anything and everything about everybody. He heard things that I don't think God even heard. It was amazing. If I wanted to know something, I just had to go to this person. Hey, what's so-and-so doing? Da-da-da. He knew. And he usually whispered it. Oh, you want to know? He was a meddler, prying. One day he placed himself right in the middle of somebody else's strife. In this case, he threw gasoline all over this fire and all over himself. It became so bad that it became a church issue. We had to deal with it. We had to call him before the deacons. We did. One of the wise old deacons said, Tom, why can't you mind your own business? And Tom said, very righteous, self-righteous. He said, I can't do that. I can't look the other way. Because I know that so-and-so is about, it was a financial issue. Someone in the church who was a family member of someone else owed them money. They were relatives. Tom wasn't a relative. But he says, I know the relatives, but when one church member is being wronged, it's not the Christian thing to do to, quote, look the other way. I asked if I could comment on the statement. I said, may I say something? They gave me permission, so I turned to Luke chapter 12. And I read that wonderful story of two brothers who were in a family financial dispute, and one brother came to Jesus, who knows everything. And they came to the Lord Jesus, and they said, Master, would you help settle this for us? And do you remember what Jesus said? He didn't say, meet me in my office. Give me all the facts. Let me hear both sides. The Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, said, man, who made me a judge and a divider over you? You know what he was saying? And by the way, I looked at Tom and I said, Tom, was that the Christian thing for Jesus to do? You know, Jesus went about doing his Father's business. Now, folks, look. There are going to be some issues. Obviously. You're going to pass by, and occasionally, there are going to be some issues, even of strife, that rightly you're supposed to involve yourself in. Jesus cleansed the temple of money changers. He didn't pass by there. Of course, that was his Father's house. And he was involved in his Father's business. And there will be issues that you should stop and you should do something about. But you know what? The Lord Jesus didn't clean out Pilate's house. He didn't go to the temple of Rome and turn over their tables. Proverbs 3:30 says, strive not with a man without cause if he have done thee no harm. Now that's a very comprehensive statement. The Bible says don't get in a fight with someone without a cause if that someone has done you no harm. In other words, if something is not in your circle of influence, why would you get involved with it? Why open your home? Now let me try to appeal to your own self-interest, which is what the Proverbs and what the New Testament text I'm going to show you in a minute often does. Why open your door and invite into your family troubles and dissension and strife? Potential heartache that your husband or your wife or your children have no business being a part of. Now they have to deal with it because you jumped into the middle of this pool. Proverbs 18:6 says, a fool's lips enter into contention. You know what that simply means? That simply means that a fool opens his mouth, puts his nose in where it ought not to be. And again, by so doing, he adds grief. He adds problems into his daily life. Meddling will always injure the meddler. It's grabbing a dog by the ears. You don't have to hear everything. You don't have to try to put your ear up to every door or every window or every issue that's going by. Number two. Meddling always increases the strife or the misery of the situation. It always makes things worse. Look at chapter 17. See, Pastor, you're saying that when something happens, you shouldn't try to help and counsel? No, I'm not saying that at all. I do that every week. Part of my calling as a pastor, as a shepherd, is to take some sheep, and if they're biting each other, clawing each other, try to get them to be sheep again. But we're talking about meddling, okay? Look at chapter 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Now, you ought to go home and study that verse sometime, every word of it. You know what it's saying? It's saying that just as water breaches a dam or a riverbank or a levee, so too is strife and contention, the Bible says, that is meddled with. At the beginning, it's okay, but you know what? Don't meddle with the contention. It simply means that what begins as a trickle and would stay a trickle or stop, eventually grows into a torrent. And that's what happens when meddling takes a hold of a little situation. It always increases the misery. And folks, look, the reasons are obvious. I mentioned Proverbs 18:6. Look at it, would you? It's just right across the page, actually. Proverbs 18, verse 6 says, a fool's lips enter into contention, jumps in the middle of it, and his mouth calleth for strokes. You know what those words mean? It means that that person who came in, who entered in, his words, since he decided to come in the middle of this battle, his words now have caused it to proceed into blows. Blows that otherwise would not have been there. You know, Spurgeon once said that when two people are over here quarreling about this and that, Spurgeon said that it's like a big fish out of water. Leave it alone, and that little quarreling will flip and flop like a big fish, and ultimately, he said, just beat itself to death. Just leave it alone. But he also said to intermeddle with that quarrel gives the big fish a supply of air that makes it live longer and therefore does more and more damage. Folks, I saw two people quarrel last month in these buildings, and I could hear them. So much, I knew what they were quarreling about. I knew anyway, but I could hear them. I love them both. They love me. They were at odds. You know what I did? Nothing. I didn't call one of them aside and say, what was that all about? You know why? If that one wanted me to know what it was about, they would tell me. I didn't stop and say, oh no, you know, like Moses and the Egyptian. I didn't try to get between that. Because I remembered Spurgeon's fish, and I said, a big fish are flopping around, let them flop around. You know what they were fighting about? Do you want to know what they were fighting about? It's none of your business. But you want to know. You want to know who they are. Sorry, it's Charlie and Aubrey, since you opened your mouth. Do you know that 99 out of 100 times, those kinds of things will die a natural death. Those little things will wither and die right on the vine, starve it with neglect. But not when meddlers come in. You see, here's how God's economy works, if you know the scriptures. If there is a dispute between two people, then there is already in place, biblically, already, a mechanism for the people for whose business it is to be involved. Now, in most cases, that's family, parents. In some cases, it involves maybe a pastor or church leadership. But look, if you are in a biblical role of authority over that someone, then it might be your business to meddle, because it's not meddling then. If you're not in a biblical, think about this for a minute, if you're not in a biblical role, all right? Somewhere in the Bible you can say, you know what, the Bible says I'm supposed to get involved with this situation. Then all you're really doing is meddling. And if you're meddling, you're going to make it worse. See, if you really want to get involved in other people's lives, then do it like the Good Samaritan. Help someone up. Bind up his wounds. Pay for his food and his hotel. And then go your way. Did you notice the Good Samaritan didn't ask the publican the descriptions of those who passed by? He didn't get on Google and do a Google search. Oh, I want to know who those people were, those nasty Pharisees and Sadducees. He didn't write on his blog and get involved in all of that. He just helped him. And he went on his way. He didn't ask for anything in return either. That's not meddling. You know, back in the old days, very wise people would say to their spouses and to their children, this is family's business, our family. And they would say, it's nobody's business what happens within these walls. And they believed that in the old days. But guess what? They not only believed it for their walls, they believed it for that family's walls. And that family, that's biblical. It was very wise because there are meddlers outside of your family's walls. And all they will ever do by intermeddling is add fuel to the fire. In fact, I don't think I have ever counseled, ever, a situation where there was divorce. Either it went through a divorce or there was almost a divorce. I don't think I've ever counseled a situation where there were not meddlers who helped ruin the relationship. Where there was not another party who put themselves in, sometimes it's in-laws, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. You know what God is saying? In-laws, stop your meddling. Stay out of their marriage. It's biblical. But sometimes it's not in-laws. Sometimes it's some other meddler. You know, I was thinking about TV reality shows. TV reality shows, voyeurism in prime time. You get to see people on TV fight and hate each other and say nasty things. All that is. If you think about what TV reality shows and why they are so popular, that it appeals to the busybody in our flesh. You have a whole nation of people who get to meddle in what is basically none of their business. None of their business. You get to see how people don't discipline their children. It's none of my business or yours, but sure it's fun to watch. Look at that train wreck. Look at that marriage fall apart before our very eyes. You get to even vote on it in some of those shows. The carnal man loves that stuff. Not realizing that, hey, the meddler is injuring himself. Take no heed unto all words that are spoken. You're not supposed to hear everything that's said. Take no heed unto all words that are spoken. Not even spoken about you especially. And he says, accuse a servant unto his own master. You're just opening the door for unnecessary burdens. And you're also, for everyone else, increasing their misery. You're not helping, and I'm not helping if I'm a meddler. There's a third thing I want you to notice. And it has to do with what meddling does and the malice that it increases. Turn to 1 Peter, the text I asked you to turn to earlier. This is an amazing text to me. 1 Peter chapter 4. And now I want you to note what the Apostle Peter says under inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament to New Testament Christians. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. He says, but let none of you, you who are saved, sanctified, let none of you suffer as a murderer. Well, I should think not. I'm preaching to you tonight, right? And I say, oh, listen, beloved, Beacon Baptist Church, Wednesday night crowd, please, don't any of you be murderers, okay? If you're going to suffer, don't let it be as a murderer or as a thief. Well, I hope not. Or as an evildoer, I hope not. Or as a what? A busybody in other men's matters. What a list. Number one, murderer. Number two, thief. Number three, evildoer. Number four, busybody in other. You know that's one word in the Greek? Look it up when you get home. That whole line, busybody in other men's matters. It's a long word. I'm not even going to try to say it. It's a long word, but it's one word in the Greek. In other words, we're not talking tonight about a minor vice, beloved. We're talking about malice. We're talking about a spiritual issue that is as dark as any other in life. Busybodies are a lot like thieves and murderers and evildoers because they do a lot of damage. They can destroy people. We're in the New Testament. Look at another text. We're in the New Testament. Back up a few pages to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Murderers, evildoers, thieves, busybodies. Quite a list. How about apostasy? 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look at verse 12. It says, having damnation or condemnation because they have cast off their first faith and withal. When you cast off your first faith, what do you do? And withal, by doing that, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Wow. That's strong stuff. Preacher, I want to hear you preach on these people that are going apostate. I just did. Busybodies. You've left your first faith. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Just back up another couple pages. Chapter 4. Verse 11. He says that you study to be quiet. That's a great study, isn't it? We need to take that course. It's a master's level. It's graduate degree. Study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. You know what Paul's saying, right? He's saying, folks, you have enough on your own plate. You have enough on your own plate to be worrying about other people's business. So that anybody who is minding someone else's business are by default neglecting their own business. That's another reason why it's so dangerous and damaging. In John chapter 21, very familiar story. In fact, you know what? Let's just turn there. Might as well. We're turning like crazy tonight. Turn to John 21. We're going to close with this, I believe. The Gospel of John chapter 21. The closing verses of the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And a powerful scene. It's in verse 18. Jesus is talking to the Apostle Peter, and he's going to give him a prophecy. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shalt gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, you know what it is? Take care of your own self. Have some freedom. He says, you're going to lose it. You're going to be taken captive. Someone else is going to take your hands. Verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Jesus is telling him, Peter, you're going to die. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth a disciple whom Jesus loved following, that's John, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeth him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Whew, what a rebuke. Do you know what Jesus just told Peter? He said, Peter, what's it to you? That's exactly what he says. You can read it in that wonderful King James language. But what exactly he said was, Peter, what's it to you? What if I tarry? What if I desire that he stays alive until I come again? You, he said, follow me. He told Peter that it was none of his business what was going to happen to John. Why? Because, folks, Peter had just been told that he was going to die as a martyr. Peter had just been told that he was going to be condemned, and he did not. What did he do? He started worrying. Talk about the flesh and human nature on display. Our Lord just told Peter he was going to be martyred and crucified, no less, and Peter turned around and concerned himself with John. We can all sympathize with that, I think, tonight. Because all of us succumb to this carnal nature and sort of come to the place where we accuse a servant to his master. Where we hear things or want to hear about things that are none of our business, but it's still foolish. It is still sinful and damaging. All that the busybody ever does is make things more problematic than they ever needed to be. And of course, conversely, what the non-busybody does, the person who does, as the text said earlier, takes care of his own business, is not idle going house to house in other people's business. What the non-busybody does is make his life more productive. And for his wife or her husband and his children and their family that they're actually responsible for, they make it much smoother than it otherwise would have been. You know, beloved, this is just as true, these verses, just as inspired as John 3:16, Psalm 26. This is God trying to help us. And it is God helping us with the truth. Please leave here tonight not only being hearers of this word, the word of God, but being doers as well. There are folks in this room, I don't know who you are because I don't follow you at work, but I know this in a group this size. You have so much conflict at work. So much conflict. You hate going to work. You despise it. And you think that if you could just switch to another place, it would make all things better. But you know that's not true because you've switched 5 times already. And the problem follows you. The problem is you. And in this situation, the problem is, now I'm not saying this is everybody who has a hard time at work, but I'm saying that in a group this size, many of you in this room, your problem is you're a meddler. You don't like what she's getting paid. She hasn't been there as long as you have. And she's getting more than you. And she does less than you. And you type faster than she does. And blah, 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 blah. And so you meddle. And you say something to so-and-so, and you do something. Those conflicts are all avoidable if you just obey the scriptures. There are folks who have problems with their family. I mean big problems. It's their family, their blood. And these are problems that cause you like this constantly. I mean, it keeps you awake at night. You don't want to answer the phone, or you don't return phone calls. There's poison there. And the real reason, if we could boil it all down, I know, believe me, with all the counseling, I've seen all the peripheral stuff, but if you boil it all down, get all that stuff out, it all comes down to the person's being a meddler. Just don't worry about stuff that you don't have control over, or that the Bible doesn't call you to have a part in. Let that floppy fish die on its own, and it will. And don't make matters worse for yourself, your marriage, your children, your family, your workplace. Obey the scriptures. God knows what he's talking about. Amen? He knows. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray, God, that inasmuch as you've shown us in the Old and the New Testament how strong this issue is, thank you, Father, for reminding us that it's not our business to listen to everything that's being said. Thank you for showing us in your word that you don't want us to know even things that are always said about ourselves, and then modeling it even in the life of Christ. Help us, Father, to be good Samaritans, but not meddlers. And in so doing, Lord, increase our testimony as Christians. Strengthen our marriages, our homes, our families, and our churches. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.